Good morning. How are you this morning? It's good to see each of you in the service this morning. We're glad that you're here and hope that the Lord will bless you today. Glad to have those of you who are joining us on Facebook today. And we want to say happy Father's Day to all of our fathers who are here today. We're glad that you're here, and we hope that it is a very, very special day for you. Because it is Father's Day and a holiday, we will not be having choir practice or evening small groups this evening. So enjoy the day with your family, and it's going to be a great day. Do want to remind you about Super Summer Something Wednesday night. That's at 6 o'clock. The Koinonia class is in charge of the event, and the menu for the evening is going to be hot dogs and all the fixings. And I understand there's going to be baked beans, everything like that. So if you are planning to come, be sure and sign the sign up sheet that is in the foyer. And if you don't sign the sign-up sheet, be sure and let us know, hopefully by Tuesday, that you are planning to be here for that event. Be sure and remember that walking is available in the Family Life Center Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 o'clock. And then Friday, also prayer time here at the church at 9 o'clock. The doors are open. We've said it before. It's just a time for you to come and be here and pray. There's no agenda. Nobody is in charge. It's just the doors are open for you to come and spend some time in prayer. I do want to remind you about Bread of Life. Instead of preparing a meal for in the month of July, they are asking for donations. There is a box out in the foyer if you can make donations to help us with that Bread of Life meal. And be sure and help them out. We do appreciate your help. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving. We appreciate it so much. And may God bless you as you give. Do want to let you know a couple of things that happened at General Assembly. First of all, we want to let you know that we have elected two new general superintendents. The first one, it was interesting. If you watched any of it, they referred to it for the longest as General Superintendent 44, because that's what he is, General Superintendent number 44. Dr. Scott Daniels, he is the pastor of Napa College Church in Napa, Idaho, and he was elected on, I believe, the 31st or 33rd ballot. It was a long, long process to get our generals elected this time. And then just about three ballots later, Dr. Christian Sarmiento, who is the director of the South America region, was elected as our 45th general superintendent in the Church of the Nazarene. And all of our serving generals were reelected, and it was a busy week. If you watched any of it, you saw how busy it was. And it was, and be praying for our newly elected general superintendents. Be praying for our church, our denomination, as we move forward in some very interesting days. That's a nice way to put it, isn't it? And so be sure and be praying for those. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to have a great time today as we worship the Lord. Since it is Father's Day, and I am going to lead the singing today, and I'm going to do something because I get to today. We're going to sing some of my dad's favorite songs. How about that? And they're hymns. They're in the book. If you want to look at them in the book, number 384 is our first one. 443 is our second one, and then 442 is Blessed Assurance. But first, Samantha's coming to talk to us about Father's Day, which I almost forgot.
Happy Father's Day again. As many of you know, I love dad jokes. So I got a few dad jokes for you. Why can't you have a nose 12 inches long? Because then it would be a foot. What did the buffalo say to his son when he left for college? Bye, son. Why did the scarecrow win an award? Because he was outstanding in his field. I once pulled a muscle as I was digging for gold. It was just a minor injury. I just love them. I love them. Things Dad would never say. Why did you stop whining? Mom and I are going away for the weekend. You should throw a party. You don't need to get a part-time job. I have plenty of money for you to spend. Don't you think that skirt's a little too long? If your friends are doing it, sure, you can do it too. Curfew? What curfew? Would you like control of the remote? Oh, that's a good one. I would love for Doug to say that. But anyway, let's see what's on the Lifetime channel. That's another good one. Yeah. Yes, it's a great idea to drop out of school so you can find yourself. Who needs qualifications anyway? Anyway, I thought those were cute. But on a serious note, some verses I'd like to read to you. Psalm 103:13. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Luke 15:20. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And I do love that verse because I think it's not just a father, but it's our Father running to us and to those lost sheep. Deuteronomy 1:31. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. So happy Father's Day to all you men that are fathers and father figures. Thank you for all you do. I hope you have a great day. At the end of the service, we do have a small gift for you.
Father, we are in heaven. There is none on heaven or on earth who is like you. We are so thankful that while we were yet sinners, you gave yourself for us. We were dead in our transgressions, but because of your great love for us, we have been made alive with Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your love. The ultimate price for our sin, but death cannot hold you. You are glorified at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.
Thank you.
Amen. Several of you have asked about Susie. Thanks so much for your prayers and the cards and the calls. And she is doing exceptionally well, and we praise God for that. She was actually getting dressed to come this morning when I said, I think you probably need to stay at home. But she's doing great. We just praise the Lord. We didn't notify you until late Tuesday afternoon because they didn't come and get her till late Tuesday afternoon. So we just thank God for His watch care over her and the way that she is doing. And wow, you guys have blessed us, and we so much appreciate it this morning. Let's stand together if we're able, as you're able, and let's sing number 384. I will sing the wondrous story.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how He left His home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray.
At night or noonday fair, no.
that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Submission. Now burst on my side, angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day. I want us to sing that without any music. Here we go. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Is that your story this morning? Is that your song? If it's not, I'm glad to tell you that before we leave here this morning, it can be your story, it can be your song. Praise his name. Brother Jack.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are thankful, Lord, this day, that, Lord, we gather in your house, this place called a house of prayer. And, Lord, there are many needs this morning. There are many situations that are happening in people's lives. And yet, oh, Lord, you are the answer to each and every one. I pray this morning, O God, for your peace. I pray for your love. I pray for your grace. Lord, touch, I pray. Bring healing. Bring wholeness. Bring renewal of all things, O God. Let a revival break forth, and let indeed we rejoice in you, Lord. We love you, and we love each other. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jack. You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning first. From 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. And there is the title of my sermon this morning. That's quite a title, isn't it?
I had one.
Yeah, you had one. Amen. Praise the Lord. You start thinking about the ideal father. Wow. And I'm telling you, when you start thinking about the title of this, to put this message together this morning was no small task, because we're going to cover everything that is necessary. I you begin to ask people about the ideal father, and I'm going to tell you, you get all kinds of answers. You get all kinds of views as to what that might be. And really, it's according to who you ask as to what kind of definition you're going to get for the ideal dad. I mean, we've seen in movies and we've seen a lot of things and on a whole lot of television shows, they really make dads out to be idiots. I mean, I'm just as honest with you as I can be. I mean, I mean, some of the television shows, they really do they make dads who really have values and who really have morals and who really do believe in curfews look like they're bad guys. I mean, you have this entire range of answers, anywhere from a sports hero dad to Mr. Mom. All of that kind of stuff. I mean, there are those people who see being a dad as someone who is the head of the house. Some have this idea that a dad is this guy who basically sits up on a perch somewhere and watches all the things that are happening in the family, and then when something goes wrong, he swoops in, takes care of everything, and then goes back to his perch to watch what's happening. They call those eagle parents. That is a technical term, really. You know. That kind of dad kind of overwhelms everybody, you know. None of those things that I've mentioned are an accurate portrayal of what a father is to be. You've already found out since I've been your pastor that I look at some pretty unusual scriptures sometimes to talk about various things. And this morning, the scripture is a very unusual scripture really to look at for Father's Day, because Paul gives us an interesting view of fatherhood in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Listen to what Paul says here. He says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. The King James Version says there, and is worse than an infidel. Well, I want us this morning, in relation to what the Apostle Paul says right here, I want us this morning to look at the Word of God, and I want us to see what God's Word really has to say about the ideal father. In case you wonder what happens over here on Sunday morning, every Sunday morning the men gather and we go over there and pray before the service. And none of you are excluded if you want to come over. It's a small room, I will tell you that. But we go, and Jim Dubrow, I listen to people's prayers, okay? I shouldn't, but I do. I listened to Jim as he prayed this morning, and he talked about, God, there will be so many of us that have our fathers, and he said that start with a small F. But we are so grateful for our father that starts with a capital F. I had never heard it put like that before. I'm going to remember that. But you begin to think about it. All throughout God's Word, we have been given the picture of an ideal father. Now, Israel, if you read my article in the newsletter this week, you found out that Israel really didn't view God as a father. In fact, for them, when Jesus said and told them that they should pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," they actually looked at that as blasphemy, because none of them saw God as the Father. But then Samantha quoted from Luke chapter 15 of the father who waited and who watched and who longed for that prodigal to come home. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You read the entirety of the Bible and you're going to find what the ideal father looks like, because it is our heavenly Father. And I want us this morning to look into God's Word, and I want us to see what the answers to this thing really is. And I want us to see what an ideal father really looks like. The Apostle Paul begins it here, really, and there's not going to be any words on the screen. That's all that's going to be up there this morning. But the Apostle Paul, when he begins to talk about in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul basically tells us that the ideal father is first and foremost a provider.
He's a provider. The scriptures tell us that one of the responsibilities of the father is to provide for the household. Paul is very strong here. He says if anyone who does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You see, one of the responsibilities that we have as fathers and or in places where we have been placed in a situation where we become a father or where maybe we are a father figure for someone. One of the things that we get to do is we get to provide for them. Now, we do have this idea that we should provide for them, you know, a home and food and something to eat and clothes to wear. But when you begin to look through the Word of God, you're going to find that there has to be a greater balance than that. That's only one side of this whole aspect. You see, in our world today, we have become so focused on providing things that we have provided an imbalance in our kids and in the children of our world today. There are a lot of, and you may not like the way I'm about to say this, and if you'd like my email address so you can write me an ugly note, that's fine. But I'm going to tell you, we have created some materialistic monsters. I mean, really, you think about it. I'll never forget many years ago being in a store in Laurel, Mississippi, and watching a 13-year-old boy cuss out his mother. Now, you say, Pastor, you shouldn't say the word cuss. Well, I'm going to tell you that's what he was doing. It was all I could do not to go over there and discipline the young man. Like somebody had should have done years before, but that's another story, you know. I mean, we have a lot of children that are growing up with this idea that they don't have to work for anything, that they don't have to do anything. That everybody gets a trophy. You say, William, you're on a soapbox this morning. No, I'm just telling you the truth. You see, it is the responsibility of the father to provide for them in a lot of different ways, not just material things. I've seen and known kids that have had everything in this world given to them, but needed so much more. I'll never forget picking up Megan one day at school while she was in high school. And this young lady went and got into a BMW Spire. Now, if you don't know what that is, I don't even know if they make them anymore. But it was basically a two-seater car. I've always wanted a BMW, you know. Susie has always told me that I'm old enough that my wants won't hurt me. You know. I think she's got a bad attitude. I can say that because she's not here this morning. I know who's watching, though, I guarantee you. Wayne just held up his phone back there. I'm in trouble. I told Megan, you didn't think I was going to get back there, did you? I told Megan, I said, is that her car? She said, yeah, Daddy. She said her daddy bought that for her when she was 16. I said, baby, you won't get that. And then I said to my daughter, I said, there is not a man on the face of the earth who will ever be able to satisfy that young lady's wants. You see, when you begin to look at our Heavenly Father, you're going to find out that God has provided for us. I mean, everything that you and I have comes about because of God's provision for us. I mean, you look at what God did for the children of Israel as they were going through the wilderness. God provided manna for them one day at a time, except for the day before the Sabbath. If they went out and they gathered more than they needed, it all rotted, except on the Sabbath. And then they got exactly what they needed for 2 days. And if they gathered more than what they needed for 2 days, it rotted. He provided for the manna. He provided quail. I read one time how many freight cars on a train it would take to provide that much food for that many people for one day. And it was an astronomical number of freight cars. But yet God provided just what they needed. They had to go out and they had to gather it for themselves. They had to work that much for it. But God provided. The Apostle Paul says that God will supply all of our what? Need, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So when you begin to look at the Father and you begin to look at what God the Father does, He provides all of our needs. And I'm going to tell you, when you look at everybody in this congregation, He has provided plenty of our wants. Oh, I went from preaching to meddling there, didn't I? Oh, my goodness. I mean, we really need to hear this message loud and clear. We are the providers. There's no doubt of that fact. God has given us that example. But we need to help our kids understand that there's more to this than just us giving, giving, giving. Now, y'all already know this about me, I think, but I am an Andy Griffith connoisseur when it comes to the Andy Griffith Show. I mean, I have watched so many of those episodes. Do you remember when the spoiled brat came to town? Do y'all remember that? If you don't, you need to go and watch that episode, because he was telling Opie all the things that Opie needed to do to get his allowance raised from 25 cents a week. It's always interesting now when I watch those shows that, you know, the house that Andy was going to sell was $5,800 for the whole house. Good night. But Opie decided he was going to throw a fit in order to get his allowance raised. And you remember he got on the floor and he stomped and he kicked and he screamed. And Andy said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm throwing a fit." To which Andy went right back to work. When it was all said and done, Opie got his allowance taken away from him. And then Opie decided that 25 cents a week wasn't too bad after all. When it was all said and done, Andy raised him to 27 cents a week, and Opie figured real quick that that was an extra $1.04 a year that he was going to have to spend. How many of us have thrown fits with God because He didn't give us what we wanted, only to realize that we sure are thankful that God, our Father, knew what was best as He was providing for us. We're not only to provide for our children in material things, but we are to provide for them in spiritual things. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord." The King James Version says they're the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I mean, we're to make sure that they have spiritual understanding. We don't hear this much anymore, but man, I'm going to tell you something. Whether you are a father, whether you are a father figure, whatever role you play in somebody's life, you are a spiritual leader. Amen, William, good preaching. We're to be spiritual leaders in our homes. And if we're not being spiritual leaders, if we're not providing spiritual leadership for our families, then we are failing our families. Now, I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on any of us. I'm just telling you what God's Word says, okay? We are to provide an environment in which our children can understand that God is God and that there is none other beside Him. That God is God and He sent His only Son to die for them so that they can become a new creature in Christ Jesus. We need to provide a place that they can understand that there is scriptural, spiritual authority and that God ultimately is the one who is in control or should be in control of our lives. You see, we're to be providers for our family. But not only does the Apostle Paul really show us here that we are to be providers, but if you look at this, there's also this air of protection involves that fathers are to be the one who are protectors. You know, I don't have to go out and fight bears. Well, I used to not have to anyway until I moved to Tennessee. This has been the year for the bears where I live. You know? A lot of deer, too. I'm telling you, to see the wildlife around here, it absolutely amazes me. And you can tell by looking at me, I'm a great hunter. I did not appreciate the way some of you laughed that quickly. You know, I've never had to kill anything to protect my children. My wife has had to kill a snake to protect her husband, but other than that, now we're going to get serious, okay? We've laughed. We all have this feeling in us. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter where we are, who we are. God has placed within us this feeling. And I know that many times fathers aren't as nurturing as mothers, but I'm telling you, fathers have this thing that they want to protect their kids. If they don't, something's wrong. Okay? We don't want anything to harm them. We don't want any evil coming in and near us. I mean, basically, we are of the opinion, you can come into my house, but I'm going to do everything I can do to protect my family. I mean, none of us would want anybody to come into our house and do something despicable to our children. None of us would want anybody to do anything or harm our kids somewhere else where they're supposed to be protected. None of us would want that. I'm about to get real close here, so hold on. We would not allow it outside our homes, but there are many times inside our homes that we allow things to come into our homes through the television or through other means that are just as despicable as the things that are happening in our world today. You say, William, you're getting on dangerous terror. I don't care. It's time somebody said it. None of us would want those kinds of things. None of those would allow those kinds of things. None of us would want people to teach our children things that we don't believe. That's why Sunday school and children's church and vacation Bible school and youth group and all those things are so important that they get. Folks, please understand, we have your children 3 hours a week. We cannot compete with what is going on in the world if they don't have some leadership at home, some protection at home. We protect our kids from diseases. We try to protect our kids from accidents. We try to protect our kids from predators. But they've got to see the example in us. Do you remember, and some of you young folks won't remember this because you've never seen anything like it. But many, many years ago, maybe when I was a teenager, there was a Marlboro commercial in which dad and his little boy are walking down the street, and they finally sit down beside a tree, and dad takes his Marlboro and he begins to smoke, and the little kid reaches down and picks up the pack of cigarettes. Folks, I'm going to tell you, our kids, whether you're a mom or a dad, whether you're a mother figure, father figure, whatever you want, they are looking at our example. And here is what is so important. They are going to follow our example. We've got to make sure that our kids' minds are filled with wholesome things. We've got to protect them from evil and from false doctrines that are out there. We are the providers, but we're also the protectors of our homes. And the last thing, and I know everybody's glad that I'm getting to that last point this morning. As fathers, we need to be the prayers in our home. And I didn't say, if it was on the screen, you'd understand how I've got this spelled in my outline. P-R-A-Y-E-R. We are the prayers. We have this idea that we've got to pray all these long, pretty prayers. And I'm so thankful for those that can. Sometimes my prayers, I feel like are a mess. And I'm glad that God can take the mess of my prayers and say, I know what He means. We better be praying for our kids, folks. We better be praying for our grandkids. You may not like what I'm about to say, and it probably won't be the first thing this morning. I'm 62 years old. I know for some of you that's ancient. Scott's going to get to 63 before I get there. So. Just barely. I don't know how long I'm going to live. You, none of us know how long we're going to live. And I'm not necessarily concerned about William, you know. But I am really, really, really concerned about two little girls that live in Huntsville, Alabama. That are just little bitty. One of them's going into kindergarten this year. Other one's going into second grade this coming year. Their whole life is before them. And some of you have kids, and some of you have grandkids, some of you have great-grandkids. Some of you are, and I know we've said it a lot of times this morning, but Samantha reminded me, and as I said in my article in the newsletter, these things are becoming, it's becoming more and more real to me as I pastor, as long as I've been pastoring, that there are so many people in our congregation who are too many young people who have no spiritual leaders. You have become their spiritual leaders. Don't ever fail to pray for them. In August, we're going to be doing something, and I hope we have more adults that want to do this than we've got children. But it sure would be nice if we had more children than we had adults. Amen. We're going to give all of our kids that their parents want. They're going to have a prayer partner for this next year. We're going to give the kids a little bracelet that says, I am prayed for. So that every day they will know that somebody, besides mom and dad, that somebody in their church loves them, cares for them, and they're praying for them every day. If you want to sign up for that and be a part of that, you need to see Karen Dubrow, okay? Somebody else was helping her, and right now my mind's Connie Mowry. Let's see one of those two ladies, and they'll get you signed up for that. I walked up the steps of Piedmont First Congregational Methodist Church. We live right beside the church, and walked up those steps, and they were a long set of steps going up to that, the entrance of that building. And Dad's office was over on this side of the building. And in fact, there was a door kind of just like that. And I walked in to the door of that building just in time to hear my dad call my name. Did something to me. We are the prayers in our families. And we've got to be praying for them and praying that God would protect them, that God would provide for them, and that God would do what needs to be done in their lives. Folks, if we don't pray for our kids and our grandkids and the children in our church, nobody else will. Nobody else will. Conclusion. Have you ever heard of Brooks Adams? His father was the ambassador to Great Britain under Abraham Lincoln, and Brooks recalled, and it would tell about the best day of his life when he was growing up was one day that his dad took him fishing. He said, I remember that we talked and spent time together. And time again, as Brooks Adams was working, he talked about that wonderful day that he and his father spent out fishing. years later, as historians were going through Ambassador Adams' papers, they found his diary. And they somehow had heard what Brooks Adams had said. And on the day that his dad took him fishing, his dad wrote in his diary, "Went fishing today with my son. The day was a total waste." What an awesome, awful thing. I wonder how many wasted days have come and gone as far as we were concerned that were monumental for our kids. Too often we get caught up in our own schedules, in our own things, and fail to realize what an impact we are making on our kids. John Geyer edited a book entitled, "If I Could Do It All Again." And in the book, he shared 8 things that he would do differently if he could go back to his years of being father all over again. And I want to read you those things. Number 1, he said, "First of all, if I could do it all over again, I would love my wife more, because by loving my children's mother more, I would create an environment of security in our home. Our love would be something they could see, something they would never have to worry about. Second, I would laugh more. I would relax and enjoy my children and laugh at their antics. I would spend more time with them enjoying being a father. Third, I would present a more realistic model for them to follow. I would be honest with them about myself. I would let them know that I had problems in school too, that I stumbled and make mistakes and failed. I would let them know that I understand and that they can come to me when they fail, because I have been there as well. Fourth, I would listen to what they say. I would listen to their pains and problems and worries and concerns. I would listen when they wanted to talk to me, because now I realize that if I listen to them when they are small and to their little problems, that when they're big and have big problems, they'll still come and talk with me. Fifth, I would stop praying so much for my family and start praying for it more for myself, because a father's prayers so often sound something like this: God, make my son and my daughter good people, help them succeed in school, help them find the right person to marry, take care of them and protect them. We're always praying for them, it seems, but I would start praying for myself that I might be the right kind of father, realizing that when I become the right kind of father, my children will probably be the right kind of kids. Sixth, I would pay more attention to little things. I would begin to appreciate the touch of love and the words of encouragement. So many times we fathers are quick to criticize their failures and so slow to praise and encourage them when they do something right. Seventh, I would create an environment of belonging. I would want my children to know that they belong, that they're important family members, because I realize that there are going to be people who say to them, join this and join that, but if they have a solid identity in the home and in the family, they will not easily be led astray. Last, but certainly not least, I would make God an intimate friend of my family. I would use His name freely. I would communicate to them that He is involved in all our family decisions. I would want them to see me pray and read God's Word and search for His direction and His leadership." She came into our world September 1986. She came into our world in June 1992. Wow. They're already out of my house. They're raising families on their own. Our oldest one is. If I had it to do over again, I would be thanking God for sticky fingers, Legos on the floor, for not much privacy. I would thank Him for the words, "Daddy, I love you." We are trying to be the right kind of men. At least I hope we are. I'm not going to stand here this morning and tell you that I made all the right decisions and I was the perfect father, because anybody who knows me knows that's not the truth. I am not a perfect man. But I sure don't want to be what those kids need. And I think you do too, if you're a dad or if you're a father figure or if you're an aunt, if you're an uncle or whatever you might be in somebody's life. Protector, provider, prayer. You can be those things. And God will help you. We do it every year. I've been doing it for years. It's one of the most precious things to me as a pastor to ask for the dads who are here to come and stand before us. You already know what you're getting. First time that Rick Babbin ever said, "Why don't we get Dad's root beer?" I thought, oh my goodness, everybody's going to throw me out. It's been the most wonderful gift that we have received. If you're here this morning and you are a father figure in somebody's life, I think we have enough for all of us. And if you need a diet, we have diet ones right here. And we have some right there. Justin, would you put those up on the altar there while Garrett's getting that? Now, I was scolded for doing something with the ladies, and so I'm going to try to fix that this time. I want you guys to turn and face the congregation. And I will do my... Thank you. And I will do my best next year to have the ladies turn toward the congregation. Thank you for your applause, ladies. Now, guys, if y'all will turn back to me. I am so thankful for the opportunity to pastor you guys. I'm so thankful that God has brought us together, and boy, what a chore it is. Lee, today is a hard day for you, I know. Some of the rest of you have lost children. But I'm so thankful that we might have made mistakes along the ways, but we can start right now to doing everything that we can do to reach and to win our kids, our grandkids, for Jesus. And God's going to help us. Amen? Amen. God's going to help us. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for these men who are standing before me this morning, who are standing before this congregation. I thank you, God, for the opportunity that you have given us as fathers, as uncles, as father figures in somebody's life, as stepfathers that have moved in to have to try to parent and help parent. Lord, there are many, many ways in which these men fill a lot of different roles. Help them, Lord, as they provide for their families. Help them, Lord, as they protect their families, and that whether it be their kids, their grandkids, their great-grandkids, whatever it may be, help them, Lord, as they protect those children and as they pray for them. But as I just read, Lord, help us not only to pray for the kids, help us to pray for ourselves, that we can be the right kind of people that we need to be. We have an example of a great Heavenly Father who loves us and who cares for us. Thank you that we can cry out in the most intimate way, Abba, Father. And you know the needs of our hearts, the weakness that we feel in a world and in a culture that seems to be pulling our kids in a totally different way. Help us, oh God, that we might be successful as spiritual leaders. I pray, Father, that in this afternoon, as we have the afternoon off, some of us will go to be with family. Some, Lord, will go to homes and will maybe hear from kids or grandkids. Or some of these men, though, who stand before me have lost kids and their hearts are breaking today on a Father's Day. And I ask you, God, that you would bless them and that you would help them, that you would strengthen them. Sometimes, Lord, we forget how difficult these kind of days can be. But may you help all of us as we leave this place to trust our Heavenly Father more than we ever have before. And may we see you work in our lives and in our church and in our community because of the faithfulness of these men. And I love you and I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I am so glad that you are here this morning. Appreciate your prayers for Susie this past week. Thank you for all that your concern and the meals and everything like that that you've done. We love you. We appreciate you. I hope that she's able to be with us Wednesday evening, but continue to pray for her. May God bless you. I hope you have a very happy Father's Day. You are dismissed.